Wow. So nice to see some faces I haven't seen all year. Have you said that to anyone this morning? I haven't seen you for a whole year. Well, for this year anyway. It hasn't been a whole year. Since last year. Wow. I love this time of year. It's I think it is my favorite time of year. I think it's a time of reflection and a time of dreaming and a time of just, well, for me, it involves a lot of just, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Like, for me, last year was very much, I felt like there was one thing after another, and it was amazing, and it was good, and it was like this ride, but I was like, whoa, back a minute, God, like, help me catch up on everything you've done. Like, I asked God for some things last year, and they all happened, and I'm like, okay, I thought that they would be at least 5 or 10 years down the track, but they happened in a year, and so now I'm like, okay, what are you saying for this year, God? When I was praying for this year, the word that God gave me was victory. And I was like, that's such an awesome word. But I feel like so often we think victory is our own doing. It's that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight this battle and I'm going to win and it's all going to be great and I'm going to make some changes and I'm going to set these goals and I'm going to do all this stuff. But I felt like God saying victory looks different in Him. The greatest place of victory is to abide in Him. Full stop. Don't add anything more onto that. Because when we abide in Him and we see His face, we carry an expression of Him. The world's not looking for Karina. The world's looking for the Father. And so if I learn in every moment and in every situation to abide in Him, full stop, the world's going to see Him. The world is looking for Him. And I really felt like this year God was saying, start to expect more, but not in a sense that we're the ones dictating it. I don't know about you, I used to be really good at that. God, I want to see this and this and this and this and this. But this year, I'm like, God, I want to step into everything and see your face. Because if I see your face, then I'm abiding in you and we're going to see great victory. And so I did a bit of Google research. I'm not a big Google research person because those that know me well know I'm not a details person. But I thought, I wonder what the number 17 actually means. And so I look it up, and do you know what it means? It means victory. And I'm like, yay, Jesus. And the number 17 is made up of 10 and 7. And those two numbers, when I did my little bit of research, there is four numbers that they say are perfect and complete. I'm going to get them wrong. So I'm not going to tell you all four, but 10 and 7 are two of those four numbers. So I want to tell you today, get excited, have some hope. Believe that when you step into something, if you abide in Him, and don't think you're going to sort it out yourself and fix it and, you know, become some big thing, because the world's not looking for you. The world's looking for their Father. The world's looking for family, and we get to be His representative. You know, the greatest thing in being able to abide in Him is to learn to live with mystery. You know what? I can't tell you why bad things happen. I can't tell you why you've had disappointments. I can't tell you the answers to those questions. But I want to tell you, if those things take you away from abiding, the enemy has got a great place because you're missing out on all that you can possibly have. I love that God has chosen to veil Himself enough that it creates space for us to be in relationship with Him. You know, He wants us to be shaped by Him. Now, if, let's say Paul and I have been married now for a while, if before we got married, I just expected Him to look like me and to be like me and to think like me, we probably maybe wouldn't have even lasted 1 minute, to be honest. Because if there's two people that are quite different, Paul and I are incredibly different. And you know what? Sometimes it's like that with us and God. Sometimes we think, well, God, you need to think like I think and you need to do what I think. And, you know, we've got all these things because we have this idea.
But actually, God's like, let that idea position you to pursue me. Because when we pursue him, we'll actually find every single longing met within him. He wants us to be shaped by relationship with him. Not just by knowing stuff, he wants relationship. So if he's exactly like us and we're exactly like him, there's no place for a relationship. We need some space. We need wonder. We need that space for love to be, for choice to be, like what Sean was talking about. We have a choice to say, regardless of my circumstance, regardless of what I'm facing, regardless of all of that, I'm going to choose to remain. And if I can remain, the world will see him. What takes our attention and what we believe will determine our response. You see, I'm a bit of an action person. We were doing some life languages the other day, and I kind of already knew my life language. I'm a mover. So that means that I see something, and I want it to look like this, and I'll do that. Because it makes things happen. I'm really good at making things happen. Not always there at the end. But I'm always there at the beginning, okay? That's me. And so it's taken me a really long time to learn to abide. Because when I walk into a situation and I see something, it's much easier for me just to naturally go, well, this is what we need to do and let's do that. It's taken me a long time to go, hang on, God, you brought me here. I want to see your face. Let's have a conversation about this. What do you see? And then often, I don't know about you, but when I ask God a question, he usually asks me a question. Because he wants to shape this world together. He wants to know how you see things. He wants to know what it is that's important to you. He wants relationship. And when we learn to do that, we become like him. The word that, so after the word victory that God gave me over this year, I asked him for a personal word. And when I asked him for this personal word, I said, God, what is the word that you want for our family? Because victory is one thing. But you know what? If I just say to you, don't worry, God's got it covered. He's victorious. Just sit back and do nothing. You've missed the heart of who he is. That's not the type of victory that he's looking for. He wants to cross the finish line hand in hand with you, heart to heart. And so we have a part to play. And so I was like, okay, God, what is the word for this year? And he said, Karina, it's faithfulness. It's learning to remain. You know what? When we have pain, when we have unknown things, our immediate thing is let's sort that out, let's fix it. But he wants us to learn to remain in him in those places. And when we can do that, we'll see great victory. You know what? Success in the kingdom is learning to be ourselves. It's not taking on some great big, I don't know, we've had so much. I remember I've grown up in the church. I've heard so many things. You just need to be like this and you just need to be like that and you need to think this and you need to think that. That's not relationship. You imagine in a marriage if that's how you lived every single day. It won't last. And I have seen so many Christians not last because they've thought, I've got to live up to this and this and this and this. And if I don't live up to that, then let me walk away. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for a company of people that'll say, yeah, God, I've got some flaws. I've got some weaknesses. I've had disappointment and I've had pain. But in that, I'm going to remain in you. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to see you. I've got a favorite song at the moment, and I love one line of it. It says, hold on to your hope as your triumph unfold. He's in the waiting. And I really feel like that is a line for us this year. You know what? When the person beside you is going through something, say to them, hold on to your hope. He's found in the process. He's there. You know, the only thing we need to know is he there? Because the world's told us if we get ourselves into this much mess, well, somewhere God can't be there because he's too holy for that place. He ain't too holy for that place. He set himself apart for you. Therefore, everywhere you step, he steps. He became flesh. He became us. Therefore, everywhere we go, he goes. There is no place that he can't go. That's our victory. He's with us. That is not just a head thing. So when we face a challenge or a trial, if our first thing is, oh my gosh, God, where did I lose you? I want to challenge you that your belief is wrong. If your first thing is, God, I see your face because you're with me. That's what it looks like to be a son or a daughter. He never, ever turns his back. He never, ever leaves us. And you know what? Your choices, if you make dumb choices, he feels that. He doesn't say, well, you go off and do your own thing and I'll be waiting here for you. No, no, he walks into that. He's right in that. He feels that. You know, I've made some dumb choices, and one of the things in my process of discovering who I am is I'm like, God, what did you feel in that? When you and I walked into that because of the decision that I made, what was that like for you? You know, it's the most powerful thing and the most freeing thing to realize there's nowhere that I walk that he doesn't walk. I want to encourage us as a family to live faithful to the fact that he's always, always, always present. And where you go, he will go. You know what? You don't need a greater vision for this year. You just need an awakening of your heart. You just need to realize that absolutely everywhere you go, he goes. And I realized every dumb decision I've made in my life came from a place of fear. My greatest fear, I had lots of fears, and a great fear of rejection, but my greater fear than rejection was a fear of lack. And so if I looked at my bank balance and it was somewhere close to very few dollars, that would create a great fear, and I was really good at trying to do something about that. So I'd be like, hey, God, it'd be a really good idea. I could, because I've done training courses, I could run a training course and that could net me about $2,000. So let's do that, God. And you know what? It never goes that well because he's teaching me something different. He's teaching us to live in a place that he wants us to see his face in that. I've learned to see his face in my bank balance. In fact, at the end of last year, I took an advisor to the president of Uganda and the father that I serve in Uganda. I took them both to Thailand, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I haven't told the world this. This is a bit vulnerable for me. I had $10 in my bank account. I had no money to pay for accommodation. So just so you know, I hadn't paid a single hotel bill, paid for no food. I left New Zealand with $10 in my bank account. And I'm telling you that not to go, wow, look at your amazing faith. No, that was a bit scary for me. But I saw his face. He said, Karina, I'm with you. And when I got there, the first church that we were with said, hey, we've paid for all your hotel and all your food for the next 4 days. I said, thank you so much. You don't know what that means to live with an awareness of that. He has so much that he wants to give us, but are we willing to stay long enough to watch that unfold? You see, I would have gone, help, world, I'm going to Thailand and I only have $10 and I've got an advisor to the president with me. I'm going to look really embarrassed when I can't pay a hotel bill. Could somebody help me out? That would have been a year ago my decision. But God said, Karina, you'll see my face time and time and time again. He's so, so faithful. And we have a responsibility to remain in that place, to remain faithful. I love when we were singing that first song today. I was so touched by the word proclaim. And I've heard that word in Christian circles forever. It's part of growing up in church. You hear the word, let's proclaim his love. Let's proclaim his goodness. Let's proclaim. But for the first time today, I saw that word. It's made up of two little words. It's pro and claim. So it means that word is for the claim. So what is the claim? The claim is the words that he speaks over you. It's your destiny. It's your identity. That's what we're actually proclaiming and proclaiming his love. I've been reading Bill Johnson's God is Good book, and I've got lots of favourite lines, but one of my favourite lines is that God's goodness is beyond our comprehension, but it's not beyond our experience. You know, so often, like me, going to Thailand with $10, if God had come and spoken audibly to me in the night or sent me an angel like he sent Gabriel, I'd really like to meet Gabriel one day, but as of yet I haven't. If he'd sent an angel and said, "Behold, Karina, don't worry, I've got this covered, I'm going to give you the treasuries of heaven and it's all going to be okay," I probably would have had less, what would you say, apprehension getting on the plane. But he didn't say anything. He said, "Go." Has anyone else had those experiences? "Go." You're like, "Well, God, could you send me Gabriel?" Or, you know, we have a little bit of a track record with Gabriel. You know, we know that what she says is true. So, you know what? He holds us in this place of, "Karina, just keep your hand in my hand. Can you just walk into that? Can you just trust me?" Doesn't have to be sorted this minute. You don't have to know absolutely everything. But can we just walk into that? So his goodness is created to be our experience. What does it look like to live into that? Because, you see, my fear to do with lack would always say, "Oh my gosh, $10, I don't know if that's going to get me there." Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's, for you, it might be something different. Money was part of my journey to do with lack, as is identity. So it would be things like, "Karina, I'm not sure you're really good enough." So this morning I was sitting in worship going, "I don't really fully know what message I'm going to share this morning." Because as Sean told you, I've been away with 51 people. You know, it's not a very quiet space, 51 people. And so I was sitting in worship going, "Man, God, it's so good to see your face. It's so good to know you." And he said, "Karina, thank you for not partnering with lack for one of the first times ever." And I was so touched by that because I went, you know what, my notes aren't that clear this morning. I don't quite know where this message is going to go. But in all of that, he said, "Karina, thank you. Thank you for just trusting that you and I together are enough." I would have lost sleep over this a year ago. Anyone else? Is this just me or is this making sense? You know what? Fear only tries to do one thing. It tries to stop your attempt. And in stopping your attempt, we've actually stopped the flow of his goodness because it's in the step that we actually get to taste is goodness. But if I keep standing back here and go, "Oh my gosh," if I'd rung up Sean this morning and said, "Sean, I haven't prepared my message so well today, so can I get the microphone to you?" He might have said no, I don't know what he would have said. But imagine if I had done that, I would have stopped the flow of the goodness of what God had this morning because of fear. Fear only does one thing. It stops our attempt if we align ourselves with it. I want to tell you, don't align with fear this year. Don't align with lack. You know, if you're looking at your last year and you're like, "Well, this wasn't so good and that wasn't so good and I want to change this." We have a beautiful another preacher. This is good, Di. She's so cute. She's really fast. But if I'd aligned myself with lack, I've missed out on experiencing his goodness. Don't miss out on the experience of his goodness this year. Taste of it. But that involves taking a bit of a risk. I don't really know when I get up here and get the microphone fully what I'm going to say. Those words aren't written on this piece of paper. And I'm telling you that because I want to be real with you. I want us to be a real family. I want us to be a family that can say, you know what? Life happens and stuff happens and we can face that fear together. We can go, you know what? Fear of lack, you're not going to have any more place in our family. I'm going to face you once and for all. And when they give me a microphone, I'm going to take that microphone. That's the victory that God has for us this year. But we have a part to play in it. And so I want to encourage you, play your part. what's our part? Taking a step, attempting it, doing something that might be slightly out of the ordinary for you, but trusting that he has got something in that. And in taking the step, you'll taste his goodness. You see, at home, I could prepare the most amazing meal for my kids. But firstly, if my kids don't smell it, or they don't feel hungry, or they don't see it, they're never going to taste of it. Tasting comes when there's a hunger within you, or you see something, or you're invited into something. God's invited us to the table. But my kids could sit in their rooms all day and never taste the food. Does that mean that I haven't made food for them? No. It means that for whatever reason, they either do, and I've got two teenage boys, so they're definitely hungry. But, you know, for whatever reason, they decided, oh, nah, let me just leave that over there. The risk of stepping into that might be too much. Let me just stay here. I remember once in Africa, I don't know if I've shared this story before, but if I have, I'm sorry, but I love this story. God said to me, I want you to give this amount of money to someone, and I'm in a deep village. I don't have the money. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm happy to give the money, but I don't actually have the cash. God said, I want you to give the money. I said, I heard you, God, and I'm really happy to do it, but I don't have the money. He said, give the money, Karina. And I'm like, well, that's an hour and a half drive to the ATM. Is that what you want me to do? He said, give the money. So I'm like, I'm confused. So I left the conversation. I went to church. I preached there. And I came back and God said, give the money. And he's like, did you not hear, Karina? And I said, well, you told me to give the money. He said, you didn't even open your wallet. I said, well, because I know it's not there. He said, there's the problem. You thought you knew. You know why I opened the wallet? My money had multiplied by four times. I had enough to give them, plus more left over than what I'd started with in that morning. But imagine if I hadn't opened my wallet. Totally could have missed out on what God had. God is after relationship, and he wants us to play our part. When God says, give money, open your wallet knowing the money's going to be there. I really believe the money wasn't going to be there. Because it wasn't there the night before. It's how he is. I love Ephesians. If you've got your Bible, let's read this together. Ephesians, you're probably not going to be surprised by this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I want to start the year in this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He's able to do above what you think and what you think. That means that what you ask. So your greatest prayer on your greatest day when you're most on fire and you believe God is so amazing and the world is going to be transformed through your life, greater than that day. And greater than the day when you sit there and you see his face and you're so moved by him and all of who he is right before you. He's even greater than that day. That's what he has for us. But there's only one way we're going to taste of that. It's learning to trust him and learning to step into that. His ways is meant to challenge our thinking. Like the day of my wallet, that challenged my thinking. It challenged what I thought was possible. His ways are meant to challenge our intellect. I have quite a few disagreements with God because my brain can't keep up with that level of goodness. I'm like, hang on, but that's not possible. He's like, oh no, that's possible, Karina. And he's meant to be challenging our expectations. You know what? You could have an expectation to see, I don't know, let's say 100,000 people in New Zealand get saved this year. That's a cool expectation, but he can do more than that. And so why does he say he wants to do more? It's because he wants to invite us into an experience of it. He doesn't want us just living with a two-dimensional words on our wall or a two-dimensional picture of something. He wants a four-dimensional, or probably 10-dimensional, knowing God. I don't fully understand his ways. A multi-dimensional experience that you're invited to live in. That's what he wants. You can experience his goodness. But what's our part? It's abiding. It's remaining. It's trusting. It's having the courage when he says to do this, that as you do that, he's faithful to make a way for everything he says that he'll do. I really believe, and I know that I've done this, that I've settled for something less because fear has had a place. And fear said, Karina, it's probably a little bit safer just to stay here. And so I this year want to walk courageously into the unknown. I want that level of mystery. I want that level of risk to even take my own breath away. That when someone says, and I've had people say, what do you see for this year, Karina? I'm like, I don't have any idea. And I want that because I want to know how good his goodness really is. And I'm not going to know it just intellectually. It's beyond my intellect. It's beyond my asking. I could ask him for the world and it's beyond that. So actually, what is it like just to walk, abiding in him and trusting that each step I'll see his goodness? That's what we're invited into. You know what? Your purpose, your identity, your destiny is all connected to his goodness. You know what? The one thing the enemy wants to do is what he did right at the beginning. Challenge the goodness of God. The enemy came to Adam and Eve and said, hey guys, you know what? The reason God said you can't have that is because you're going to become like God. Eat that and you'll become like him. Challenged his goodness to the core. And we as human beings didn't believe his goodness in that moment. What do? We took the fruit, we ate the fruit, and suddenly good and bad became part of our world. We really stuffed up. But we thought that God was withholding something from us. We thought he really couldn't be that good. I want to tell you this year, align your beliefs beyond what you've ever experienced of his goodness. He doesn't just want to do good things for you. He wants to do good things for our city. He wants to do good things for our nation. And how does he want to do it? He wants to give those things to you. Half of what he gives, probably more than what he gives, actually. 99% of what he gives is actually for those around you. He wants to learn to entrust to you what he has to give to those around you. You know what I love about God? I love how God called Peter a rock. Now, Peter was the one that was like, Jesus, I'm never going to deny you. No, I've got this. I'm not going to deny you. What did he do? He denied him three times. It's kind of a little bit unstable to go, Jesus, I'll never, ever do that. Not only did he do it, he did it three times. Not the most stable. And what does God call him? He calls him a rock. Gideon is in the cave and he's shaking and he's all scared. And what does God call him? A valiant warrior. You know, so often we align with our circumstances rather than align with his words. And we step outside of dwelling in his goodness. I used to think God was calling them those things to call them into something. Now I believe that God is that good that that's how he saw them right from the beginning. He wasn't trying to call them into something. He was just speaking who they were. He was speaking his design over them because for so long I believed that this whole kingdom message is just about redemption. It's just about taking us from where we've been and living in darkness and fear and not knowing who we are into this place of, well, now I'm a beloved son or I'm a beloved daughter. That's what God's doing now, but God had a design before that. That's why I believe Peter was a rock the whole way. God didn't change because God designed him. God designed you. See, he's got words that he says over you. You know, and so I think sometimes we get stuck in his redemptive process. We haven't explored his design yet. That's his goodness. That's what I'm exploring. I don't fully understand it. But you know what? There is words. When he created you in his inner being, there was words that were on his heart. There were words on his mind. Just like Peter. Hey, Peter, you're a rock. And you know the crazy thing? Even when Peter denied him, he didn't take that away. God's design is eternal. No matter what you do, you cannot take away the design of who you are. You can't lose the design that God put within you. You are a powerful expression of who he is. It's who you are. Now, you can fight that for the rest of your life, or you could simply surrender to it. I really think it's that simple. I see people that fight that all the time. They get into all sorts of stuff. It's like, you know what? There's going to come a day when you're going to say, okay, I'm going to finally align myself and agree with the design of who he says I am. I really want this year to be a year that we journey with the level of intention that God journeys with. You see, there's not a moment that's not intentional from God. There's not a place that he walks us into that doesn't have purpose. You know, he lives and breathes in purpose and intention. And I want us to learn to walk in that. You know, as you're raising your kids, as you're working, as you're whatever you're doing, see it with a degree of intention that God holds for it. Hold it in the same value that God holds it. For God so loved the world. God loves your work. God loves your kids. God loves everything around you. So what does it look like to live in that level of intention? Nobody just has a job. Nobody just does it because they need some money. You know, these are all the things the world's taught us because the world, if the enemy can do one thing and separate us from that value that God holds for us, his design. You know, God has a purpose for every business in Whangarei. So if you're in a business, if you're in a preschool, if you're in a school, if you're in whatever you're in, there is a full purpose for that. God wants to see his goodness manifest into that. That's revival. It's not everyone falling on the ground. It's actually life. Yeah. That's revival. So what does it look like for our businesses to flourish? What does it look like for ourselves to flourish? What does it look like for our kids to flourish? That's what we're invited into. That's his goodness and that's his design. That can't happen unless we allow him to renew our minds. Because our minds aren't very good at holding true to who he is and what he says. I don't know about you, but that's been a lot of my journey. Learning to take authority over my thoughts and my mind so that I can actually step into what it is that he says. Because I would be the first to say, oh, well, I don't even know if you're here, God. I can't feel you, so you're obviously not here. You know, I would go down a spiral of my thought process that was never a good journey because I didn't know what it looked like to live a renewed mind. We need a renewed mind because that's only when the impossible seems possible. It's when you see that drug addict out there and you're like, you are a beloved son. You know, I got to speak those words over someone who had murdered more people than they knew how to count. That takes a renewed mind to do that. Because a non-renewed mind will say, you deserve something. You're a bad person, you deserve punishment, and this is justice. That is not God's picture of justice. God's picture of justice is people stepping into who they are. We need to have our minds renewed on a daily basis so we can learn to see those around us as he sees them. But before we can see those around us, we have to learn to see ourselves as he sees us. And when we do that, we can step into a living reality of a beloved son or a beloved daughter. It takes a renewed mind to do that. Because in a renewed mind, it's no longer my ability, it's his ability. God, I don't know how to love someone who's murdered someone, because I feel the pain of every single family that lost someone who was important to them. But God, I'm going to trust your ability in that. You know what? When we see him and we see the extravagance of who he is and we see something of his design, it pushes us, it motivates us. My only response is to surrender and worship him. I don't know any other response to who he is other than that. You know what? If you don't feel like worshiping or you don't feel like surrendering your life to him, you haven't seen him. Because when you've seen him, everything within you flows. Worship is a heart expression of beholding him. And so if you're feeling like, man, I don't even know what my vision is for this year. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know who God is. Just learn to see his face. Learn to see who he is. Because if we can do that, it'll change everything for us. When we see him as the perfect one, yet he chose vulnerability. He chose to become us. He chose to feel pain. He chose to experience loss and grief. That's who he is. It's what he gave. When he turns to the person hanging on the cross beside him, and he forgives him. That's who he is. Did that person deserve forgiveness? Of course not. That's who he is. He's full of mercy. But you know what? If we haven't experienced that for ourselves, we'll never carry it for somebody else. You see, if you haven't allowed yourself to feel the reality of where life, if you have taken your life, because actually it leads us all to a cross. If we haven't actually stood in that place and heard his words of, Karina, I forgive you. You're free. You can be with me. Then we're never going to be able to give that to somebody else. God wants us to become like him. He's created a space where as we choose to seek his face, as we choose to see him, not in the way that religion has taught us, you know, that one needs to fast and pray and all of that. I am for those things, don't get me wrong. But that is not the basis of relationship. You see, I cook dinner for Paul, not because he tells me I have to cook dinner for him. I cook dinner for Paul because I love him and I want it to be an expression of my love. You see, that's how fasting's meant to be. That's how prayer's meant to be. That's how reading the Bible's meant to be. It's like, man, God, I can't get enough of this because this is you. I want to partake of that. Not because somebody said if you don't read your Bible for 30 minutes a day, you're never going to grow and you're going to end up in a stale, horrible place. Don't read it for that. So much more than that. Read it because there is an expression of him in this, that if you can learn to take a hold of that, it changes everything. Our life is to be a living expression. It's who we are. We're a living expression of him. And so I want to encourage you this year, learn to abide, learn to remain, learn to be faithful to our part. Learn to take a step, even if that means facing some fear. Face the fear. You'll find something incredible as you learn to face that fear. And I can guarantee you the fear that you face will be so connected to your destiny. You know, when I began doing my degree course some years ago, it's a while now, they told me that I would never pass my degree course because I had the worst communication skills of anybody that ever met. And I'm telling you that because I had to face some fears. I had to face some fears of, well, have I even got a voice? Is anything I say even of that importance? And that's been such my journey with God and my journey with family. And so I want to tell you, face some fears this year. Because as you face those fears, you'll find how much of the delight of God you really are. And then the desires you have are no longer trying to protect yourself or run away from stuff. The desires become a living expression of love himself. But we have to face some fears. Do I really have it? Is he really going to show up? If I stand in that place, is he going to be with me? Fear of rejection. Man, if I stuff up, what's going to be the punishment that he's going to give me? If I go to Thailand with an advisor to the president with $10, is he really going to show up? I can tell you he does. But unless you take a step, you'll never know. You see, knowing comes from experience. We have to learn to live in experiences, because as we learn experiences, our knowing grows. And as our knowing grows, it creates a greater place for love. I love reading stories of people that like go to airports and believe God for airline tickets. I used to laugh at those, thinking, man, that's never going to happen. Now I have some faith for it. Why? Because God took me to Asia for 10 days with $10. It was like one of those amazing race stories, you know, but it was in real life and nobody knew I was in the amazing race. He is so, so faithful. There is so much goodness. Learn to live this year in that. Take charge of those thoughts that you have, of who you are, what you're doing. You know what, the familiar. So I study neurology, so I can tell you a few things about that. But the way that our brains work is not conducive for firstly living in goodness and secondly remembering good. So our brain remembers things so much stronger negatively than positively. And you go, well, why is that? Well, I don't know why that is, but that just means you've got a greater step to keep your thoughts and remembering the good. The brain was designed to keep you alive, to keep you surviving. So if you have a negative experience where you nearly get run over, it's probably a good idea that the brain reminds you of that, so you're less likely to get run over tomorrow, you know. It has some purposes, but when it comes to dwelling in his goodness, it's not always the most helpful thing. So be intentional about seeking his face. Be intentional about receiving his goodness and experiencing all of that this year. This is going to be a year of victory, but we have a part to play. It's not enough to say, well, God, man, you didn't come through on that. You know what? We have a part to play. What step did he ask you to take? Where was he wanting to take you? You see, everything about God is an experience. It's not an intellectual journey. We've got to get past this idea that, well, I'll come to church and God will just give me a dream and, man, that bam, that's just going to happen. It's unlikely that that's just going to happen, okay? You're going to have some steps to take along the way. That's our faithfulness. That's our response to his goodness to say, God, I'm going there. I'm trusting you with this. That's what he has for us this year. Learn to dwell in good. I love Bill Johnson says he lives 15 minutes away from disappointment his whole life. Utter disappointment, I think he said. I can't remember exactly. What does that mean? It means that that's the level of intention that we get to live in. We can all go down there, man. We can all go and go, well, this isn't so good, man. Be so much better if my husband looked more like this, or if he... We totally can all do that, and I don't think like that. But it's so, you know, it's so easy. Sorry, Paul. I don't think that. But it is so easy to do that because things can become familiar. Don't go there. Learn to celebrate. There's so much I could tell you about Paul. I love him to bits. Even his sick jokes. a grid for those? No, I don't. But I love that that brings joy to his heart. And if you ever get to know Paul and you get to hear his story, he was told some crazy things to do with depression. He's a living testimony of joy. So every time he says one of those jokes, even though half of them I don't understand, I'm like, thank you, God, for the joy that you've given him. That's the intentionality that we can live in. And so I want to encourage you this year, live intentional. Stay in good. Put your house in good. Don't move from good. As soon as, if you're making decisions based on what seems wrong and what's missing, you're agreeing with fear. Don't agree with fear. Make decisions based on goodness. Make decisions on what you can see. Make decisions on, wow, I have got a picture of this, and it's worth the step to see what God's going to do in that place. Have brave conversations. I'm not saying stay with dumb stuff. No, I'm not saying that. But don't go down a path of living this year trying to fix everything that seems wrong and try and make everything that feels like it's not enough, enough. You're enough. End of sentence. What you have is enough. And if we can learn to walk into that this year, we're going to see the goodness of God manifest in our lives and in the lives of those around us. We're in for an amazing, amazing year that we have a part to play. And so I want to say to you, get ready for an amazing journey into 2017. You know what? If you've got things that still feel like they're... So I've got one thing. I had a dream last year that we were going to finish. We're building a really big prayer house in Africa. And I had a dream last year that that would be finished, and I didn't see it finished. And so when Sean was saying about remembering, I'm like, that's right, God. You told me to do that. So you know what? I'm going to give some of my time this year to go and do that. Don't go, oh, well, that didn't happen, so let me go and do something else. Be faithful. Finish it. But at the same time, believe for great things. Believe that if I learn to step into goodness in whole new ways, that I'll see his hand time and time and time again. Because you will. Don't wait for him to make everything okay, because he's already done that. It's like Adam and Eve, you know, they thought he'd missed out a part of what himself to them. Don't think that he needs to do something. He's already done everything. He gave Jesus. He brought us into relationship. He's done his part. So now you get to respond to that. And when we do that, we'll see great things. And so I want to invite the worship team, those of you that are around, just to come up. You know, I want to tell you this morning that he's with you, that his attention is on you. So I don't want you to look at the worship team. I want you, we're just going to spend a moment looking upon his face. Thanks. So wherever you are, if looking upon his face means closing your eyes is a good idea, close your eyes. How whatever feels comfortable for you. If you feel like looking upon his face feels more like having your eyes open, have your eyes open. If you want to lie on the floor, you can lie on the floor. If you want to stand up, stand up. There is freedom for you to see his face. Papa, we live and breathe and have our being because of you. Papa, wherever we walk, you walk with us. Papa, your love and your goodness is always, always, always available. You love because you love, because you love, because you love. And Papa, this morning, will you break off lies? Will you break off fear that have kept us captive, that have kept us from taking steps, that have kept us in a place of good ideas but not actually doing anything, that have kept us in an intellectual relationship with you but not a heart relationship? Thank you that every single person right here, right now, can see your face. God, will you increase our awareness of your face? If he feels like he's far away, just invite him to come closer. And Father, this morning, will you show us areas in our lives where we haven't walked in all that you've had for us to do with your goodness? Will you show us areas where we've partnered with fear instead of love, God? God, will you expose areas where lack, rejection, and punishment have had a place? Those things that he's exposing are not for you to go and fix, okay? That's what got you into fear in the first place. I want you to see those things. And as he shows you those things, I want you to invite perfect love. I want you just to invite his presence to come into those. It's to do with who you are. Just invite his love to come. God, I thank you for clarity to see your face right now.